Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The Pioneers of Alien Abduction. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
So for our anniversary episode, happy anniversary, but for our anniversary episode, I was like, it would make the most sense to have it take place local to us or place that we've been. I was like, we spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, and we'll come back.
We'll be back, baby.
We'll be back in California.
Oh, we're just leaving for a little bit.
And then it came to me. I'm on Pinterest.
Okay. It is 2 a.m.
I'm on
Jason's
Pinterest.
Jason's on Pinterest.
I'm in my robe.
Right?
I'm
on Pinterest. The glow of the computer illuminating his face.
And I'm looking up historical markers, U.S. Historical markers.
Oh, my God. Your life is...
It's like what?
Perfect. Yeah, it's perfect.
And I'm obsessed with historical markers because, you know, if they're there, they're there for a reason. Uh-huh. And I came upon one, and it... found me. I didn't find it. It found me. It called out to
me. You were open to it, and it came to you.
So this one is going to be about the, I guess, the case of Barney and Betty Hill in New Hampshire. So we're going to go to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
The New Hampshires.
The New Hampshires.
So it's going to be UFOs.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Yes.
Anal probes?
Amazing.
Right, so I knew that. You were like, you had me at anal. Yeah. No, from that movie. You had me at anal.
You had me at new.
Yeah. So that will be our anniversary episode. It has been
so
1 year.
It's been a crazy year.
Can you believe it?
I can't really. When you said that, because I don't do anything, Jason does all of the work on this. He's like, it's been a year. And I was like, what? A whole year?
I've only done 37 minutes. I've only done 30. We do this at Rebecca's. She knows things. We did the live show.
Yeah, we did a live show.
We did a live show.
We built our audience. We got agents.
We have our own helicopter. Can you hear it?
Yeah, exactly.
No, not now. We're doing a podcast episode.
We're set in an hour. Take us to Nobu in an hour.
Yeah. I'm going to Nobsies, babies. And then I'm going to the Soho House. Forget it. One day. Yep. And it's been a year, and you know, statistically, not a lot of podcasts make it a year.
No,
and we've grown.
Some don't even get started.
No, some don't even get started.
A conversation by comedians at a bar, and then no one does anything.
Right.
Look at us now.
Like some of our projects.
Exactly.
No, we do it. We do finish what we start. It's just sometimes it doesn't last as long.
And also sometimes you know it just doesn't get the traction, attention, and we're so thankful that you guys are listening.
So thankful.
Wow.
People have been really. Really great. And, you know, one thing I've learned, and for those wondering, if you don't want to hear this, fast forward, because it's our year anniversary and we're doing it. We read the reviews. We take what you say very seriously.
Absolutely.
We've got a lot of really great reviews on Apple Podcasts and CastBox, and thank you for that.
Yes,
you've listened. We appreciate it. It helps. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us for you to say, hey, this is decent and give it one star.
Yeah.
Because that's not really like, I mean, it's just not fair. You've taken the time to review it. Thank you, I guess.
Yeah. But still, it's like, okay, what's that one star for? What's it not for? Like, give us some feedback. We are we want to improve this. We're very insecure.
Yes.
We want details, bad and good.
Yeah.
Just give it all.
Do I need Botox? Yes or no?
Exactly.
Basically, that's most of it. Do I need Botox? Does my voice need Botox?
Exactly.
Can your voice have Botox?
Exactly. Your voice sounds fat?
Yeah, I know.
How did that even work?
I need to tighten it up. I gotta tighten up my voice.
That's good.
Is that tight?
My voice sounds like this.
With or without Botox?
That's with Botox.
Oh, wow.
I need a lot of Botox.
Yeah,
on
a lot
my
of Botox.
Vocal cords, my
Maybe
larynx.
We can get a Groupon for like 10 for something.
Yeah. 10 for 40, 4 for 80.
Sounds good.
17 for 60.
Don't.
Wheel and deal.
Don't go in business. The one thing that I think we've learned is when we first started, and I mentioned this before, episodes are very short, and I think it's because we felt let's not do too much and extend our, you know, I don't know what you would say, like kind of a reach into mm-hmm. what this is. People might not want that much, but yeah. people said, hey, listen, it's too short. And if you're doing a little bit of personal stuff, which I believe we've cut back on personal.
Yes, which I hate.
And then I know you have, you guys are missing it. You guys are missing it. And then we will take the personal stuff as it relates to the episode or exactly. an episode to, because, you know, what we're doing is when we can explore these things uh-huh. and we do some investigative journalism mm-hmm. and it's not just us reading information. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes it has to be just from different sources and yeah. then kind of find out which one is the most consistent, which one's the most consistent mm-hmm. and then trying to reach out. People shut us down a lot or they don't respond.
So we get a lot of no's.
We get a lot of no's.
A lot, just like showbiz, baby. Yeah. We get a lot of no's.
A lot of left
we
swipes.
Persist, yeah. but she persisted. Yeah. Exactly. A lot of left yes. swipes.
He also persisted too. Huh. For once. That's for the couple people out there that were like, what about the dudes?
Yeah. What about those white guys? Come on. Represent them.
Yeah. For once.
There you go.
So we've learned to, you know, make it a little bit longer, uh-huh. cut down on that. Yeah. And then we're always kind of, you know, we're always kind of working. And Rebecca has been working, like producing a big time show that I was working on the uh-huh. tail end. And now.
I bring people with me. So you guys yeah. remember, good reviews, Patreon. Yeah. I will bring you with me.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Forcibly.
Probably not.
Forcibly.
You're not going to like it.
Yeah, you're not going to like it. It's not going to be good.
Exactly.
And so we hope that now this will be a 1-year anniversary. You know, mm-hmm. it's almost like a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
But for the podcast.
Exactly.
So we got a lot of cool things in store. We said our Patreon uh-huh. is up and running. Tons of bonus episodes. You get two mm-hmm. a month and they're backlogged.
Yep.
And other perks for other levels. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Exactly.
We're using that to try to get into festivals.
Yeah, we're going to do it up. And again, I think we say this a lot, but we're really excited. This is kind of a nice benchmark for us. And, you know, before we get into the meat of UFO stuff.
Well, you know, there's a UFO, which kind of, I'm not mm-hmm. like a big UFO person.
I am.
Great. But it's so compelling for uh-huh. obvious reasons. So I've gotten a little more into it. Uh-huh. And we did a UFO episode on Patreon.
Yes.
So local to where I lived, mm-hmm. a popular place, is very random. New Hampshire is going to be very random.
Yeah.
Can I read a couple of nice messages?
Yes.
Can
and I then some? I want us to talk about maybe our couple favorite episodes quickly. Maybe
real quick, we'll recap. Again, fast forward and exactly. we will get to
everything that's about to go down.
Everything that's about to
we
go down.
We promise you everything today.
And baby, I don't remember what I've read.
We got everything for you.
Let's see here. Mrs. Lons is always so supportive.
Yes.
We have a pretty nice email here I wanted to mm-hmm. read.
Great.
I'm gonna pull that up. It's a long one. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. It's a very long uh-huh. it's a very long email, but it's very nice. And the fact that it starts out with I love this podcast.
Yes.
From Nathan Johnson, but he goes by Nate Chops Johnson.
Gotta have the chops.
Starting a new Chopper J.
Like
urban explorer blog. Mm-hmm. I think he's in NoHo.
Oh.
So maybe we can like team up or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, hi, GT crew. I'm just going to read. It's a long email, but
the
we appreciate
of
it.
Two.
I've already responded. I discovered your podcast a couple of weeks ago and I fell in love with it.
Aww.
It's exactly how my friends and I discuss the weird, the paranormal, and all that is LA. And so he's a writer and he mm-hmm. takes pictures. And he has a blog coming out. I said I would mention it once it comes out.
Yeah,
but that's
absolutely.
Nate Chops Johnson. It was very exciting. We get a lot of really nice messages.
CJ.
Maybe you want to read some reviews?
Yeah.
Just to give you guys, like, in case you're like, I want to read a review, but I was like, I want it to be like
super. But what
super
does it even work like? How does a review sound? What's the tone of a review? I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'll get exactly. into it. I'm listening to so many true crime podcasts now.
I know.
Just like listening to like structure, insane. And it's like now it's taken over pretty much.
Yeah, I'm just getting out of my work fog and just becoming a human being again.
This one is Kelly Mailing List.
Kelly
Miss Mailing List herself. Fun and bonus interesting.
Bony that, interesting.
Yeah, that's the bonus is that it's interesting. She's right. like, I came here for fun. Oh, I'm learning a little something along the way.
Well, you're welcome.
The hosts have great chemistry and the mm-hmm. topics they broach are engaging. If you like Ono Ross and Carrie or yeah. This Paranormal Life,
that's also incredibly.
You'll be right at home at Ghost Town.
Yeah, that's so flattering.
It's
Ono
very
Ross
kind.
And Carrie, they are hugely successful.
Yeah.
Paranormal. I mean, these are podcasts that I have been listening to for years and years.
So we're happy to be yeah. in the same sentence as some of these people, and we're going to be doing. We've had to turn down a lot of guesting on other shows,
yeah,
But now we'll
mostly because they take place in Deep Van Nuys, and I just couldn't do just, it. Like I couldn't mentally wrap my head around it. But we're back.
We're back. Gonna do more. We're back in business. This one's good. Okay, people, come on. Which I like.
Yes,
this is
getting
from Denver.
Defensive. He is. Yeah,
Denver. Just started listening to Ghost Town. It makes me giggle out loud. All those naysayers need to chill out and not take everything so seriously. I love true crime, but some podcasts make it so boring. It's fun to have a podcast that lightens up and makes it feel like you're hanging with friends.
Yeah, friends you can't talk to.
Rebecca is hilarious from Your Mom's Name 1234.
Is that fake?
Yeah, I don't know. It says, I love how her brain works. Always look forward to new episodes.
How does it one work? Of us.
How does it work?
Sometimes it works in mysterious ways, and I'm glad that she appreciates it.
Do you want to take a couple of hits too?
Hell yes.
Of course, that's what we're
doing. I need some hits. You guys want you want to cut us down before we build you up.
Yeah, yeah. You want some bad yelps? Too much jibber jabber. What? What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
I wanted to like the show, but got bored waiting for them to get to the story, which was often meager, interrupted by pointless personal comments.
Like my dating life?
Yeah. I think, again, it depends on where they're listening.
Yeah.
And I understand that point taken. If you listen to episode 2 or episode 50, they're going to be markedly different.
Also, like, that's what we have to offer. We are not historians.
No.
We are passionate about our subject. We are comedians.
And we might have a personal connection to it some way or in some way or other, or try
to. It's just like not for you if you're like, get out all the personal stuff. Bring in true time accounts. Like, comprehensive experiences. Like, we're not
I want the coroner.
Yeah, exactly. I want the sound of the bullet hole going through the window. I don't have that.
Yeah, I don't got that. This one's like, love it, but don't. I love where this podcast is going, but the male needs to slow down in his talking. It just comes out as stuttering or a lot of
Yeah, they do talk about your ums a lot.
I don't think I do that. I don't think I do that. That's very common. It's a very common thing that happens. And other podcasts, what they have is a thing called money and a producer.
Yes.
And they can pay someone to edit out those ums. That's what
they
do.
We can't do that without your help.
Yes. Please help.
Patreon.com/ghost.
And this other one is Jason is Gorgeous.
Oh.
Great butt.
Wow.
That's weird. But again, it's been a year. Thank you very much. Ghost Town Pod is our Instagram. Always message us.
Please.
And, you know, anytime people have been joining the Patreon, I encourage them, hey, follow us on, if you're not already, or message us, we can follow you back.
Yeah.
Check out what you have going on if you're interested in that.
And if you post something nice, we will repost it and get you some love, too.
Yeah, you want some love.
Right?
We all do.
We all want love. I did go on a very good date last night. I just want to say, I won't get into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that why your hair is like?
I got to blow it before my last day at work. But also for this,
so this is held up from the
blowout. Yeah, I haven't sweated out yet. Yeah,
good,
I have
good
it.
Blowout. Well, I can see why you had a good.
Thank you. I'll put a picture up on Ghost Town so you guys can see my blowout, expert blowout.
Yeah, so we'll check that out.
Yeah,
get some likes.
Exactly. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So good date, maybe more. He's from Austin though, so he's going back to Austin on Monday. So it was but fleeting.
Yeah,
but he's trying to move out here, which is what every guy says who doesn't live here.
Yep, in Austin, you know what I mean. There you got it. It's weird. There's a Ben and Jerry's there. That's kind of funky.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah, I did a comedy festival there, and I was like, "It's a great city, by the way. I definitely would love to go back, and hopefully, we can find a reason to do a festival there.
That'd be really fun. And I'll meet back up with this dude.
Yeah,
right. Do it for me.
Yeah.
How about you support us so I can have a love life?
Yeah,
that's what we're.
And I can eat Ben and Jerry's.
Jason,
I just want to barbecue,
and I can find love. That's pretty a common theme in our podcast.
Finding love.
Yeah, like snacking. Finding love.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what would not. Like what love is not letting a couple of alien abductions get in the way of your union. And that's the case of Barney and Betty Hill.
I have the picture of the communion paperback cover in my head, just flashing. Yeah. Please go begin.
I don't think that's from the same one though.
No.
That's a little bit later, I think.
Yeah, it's not.
But it is that it's reference. In that world, yeah.
Yeah.
This would be maybe commonly known as, and if this doesn't make it interesting, the Zeta Reticuli incident.
That sounds like a Froyo place in Sherman Oaks.
When it starts with a Z, it's good.
Okay.
It's like, I'll buy it.
Got it.
I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to lay out the land.
Great.
And then we're going to get into it I have a couple of theories. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Not my theories aren't interesting. The whole thing is very interesting and compelling. And the skeptic in me mm-hmm. is going to try to open his mind a little bit.
You gotta,
it's going to be hard because the skeptic in me is really pushing back.
Yeah, the skeptic alarm is like, but your heart is like, give it a try.
Yeah, and Botox is like, yeah, do it, man.
Botox is like a devil on your shoulder. Like
but it's like cool plump voice,
devil.
Cool tight voice, no ums. Cool tight voice, no ums.
Full head of hair.
Full head of hair.
Ombre.
Tight voice.
Yeah, wow.
Skin tight voice. So on September 19th, 1961, around 10:30 p.m., Barney and Betty Hill were driving back. They had a vacation in Canada, mm-hmm. coming back, and they're on their way to New Hampshire, south of Lancaster.
Just a little jaunt, Canada, they New Hampshire.
They ran out of money. Ooh. So they had no time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They had to drive through the night. Mm-hmm. This is important to me, by the way. Put a pin in that.
Got it.
They had to drive through the night.
Got it.
And it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's the moon is the only thing
guiding them.
Moon is the only thing guiding them. It was totally empty. And Betty noticed that there was a bright star, maybe a planet, in the sky that night. But she startled when she noticed another star or planet that was starting to come a little bit closer, right?
Whoa.
At first, Betty was like, whatever, it's nothing. Yeah,
we got to go through the night. We're out of money. We can't deal with this riffraff
was great
right now. Yeah.
Canada
we spent, we blew our money on poutine in Canada. We got to get home.
We love it. Uh-huh. So she was like, kind of like, whatever. Then she began to observe that the bright object started becoming bigger and then appeared to be following the car.
That is not a planet. I'm not an astronomer, but I would say.
That's our good friend Stephen Saff.
Oh, God. Which was wondering about payment
a little shout out. Little tiny shout out. So then it started changing its course. Like it was like kind of following them, but not in a straight line. Like kind of like in a zigzags or something like that. Then she alerted her husband. Mm-hmm. She was like, hey, babe, honey. And he was like, what's up, babe?
Yeah. Babe.
And then he was like, it's a satellite or it's all the logical things that it could be. But then he started to get nervous. Uh-huh. Right. So they're both. Put a pin in this. They're both very nervous in their car, very long drive, uh-huh. probably needed to stop, but they didn't have the money to like stay in a hotel and they had to buy food or whatever. Just enough gas to get home. We spent a lot of money. That to me is important.
Yeah. I would like to know what they spent their money on in Canada. Pelts?
But like probably just like UFO crystals.
Wow.
Transistors.
Magnets.
And then he started getting nervous. And then he's like, if it was a plane, we'd hear like plane engines, like normal plane engines. And then they started becoming more afraid that the object was, now we're like, it's following us. Mm-hmm. We are being followed. It was pancake-like, so UFO.
Yeah.
Traditional
like a
UFO.
Disc, right?
Yeah. White, hovering. Now it's hovering directly in front of them.
Now they're like, okay, I can't ignore this. I can't rationalize this to be anything else.
Then they began to feel tingly, drowsy. And then
that's
they
how I
awoke.
Feel right now.
When they awoke, like 2 hours later, still driving down the highway. So their claim is. Uh-huh. What's this? Now it's 2 hours later. Where did the time go?
They woke up driving.
Yes.
Damn.
And that might be a little bit... Yeah, you ever been driving? You're like, I don't even know how I got from...
Yeah,
this
you're like, you're on autopilot.
You're on autopilot. Yeah. Again, keep all this in mind.
Sure, driving through the night. Whoa.
A little bit kind of manic, probably a little bit. When you have two people in there and a lot of things are happening and also just wanting to be supportive. And also, you know, science is... In 1961 is what it is, or what is science fiction, or what is, you know, what discoveries are out there? How much do we know pre-moon?
Yeah.
So like, what do we know about that?
Exactly.
So Betty was like,
she was like,
UFO baby.
Yeah.
Right away.
She was in.
Huge coincidence. Her sister had seen a UFO a year earlier.
That is a giant coincidence.
No, it just happens to be they both saw one. What are you talking about?
Two sisters?
Yeah.
Both UFO sightings?
Sure.
Within the year?
Yeah.
Now my skepticism is like,
yeah, so I'm
and
coming
my
at,
heart is,
the Botox is like, Barney, he was more skeptical. Husband was more skeptical. But then the hypnosis comes in.
Oh, fuck yes.
And I want you to also keep another thing in mind. I didn't, plot twist. It's not really a plot twist. They're an interracial couple.
Interesting.
And what's interesting about that is it is interesting that in 1961, probably a tough time. And then some people have... indicated that the stress of being in, you know, I don't know what it was like in Canada or New Hampshire or where they went. It has to be tough in general. It's probably tough now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that was something that played a part in it. Although they said, listen, we've never had any issues, did not play a part in it. And that may very well be true. It's not really for anyone to say. It's just a fact of this. And I don't know if it made things more interesting in a way, like it just kind of like added to the levels of what's going on, bringing that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But I mean,
they seem like just like two normal. I mean, for what I know, she's a postal. He's a postal worker, and I forget what her job is. And she had also had a job.
Yeah,
she had
like, both like, gainfully like, employed. She had a good job. Yeah,
so they were doing great. Barney was more skeptical, but under hypnosis, which started happening more and more. He and his wife saw creatures with slanted eyes that had taken them aboard the UFO for experiments. This is where, you know, in popular science fiction that anal probing came in. Like, where did that come in? It started around here.
Okay. It started in the anus of this story.
It started in the anals of this story. It started with this.
Just right in
there. Yeah. So, you know, this guy, Dr. Simon, he didn't believe them.
Yeah.
But...
You call bullshit.
For various reasons.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of those reasons. But the story got out to journalists. It became very popular. And then, you know, even like the military, you know, especially in like the 60s or 70s, it's like the men who stare at goats and that. The, what is it? The projected, I keep forgetting what it is.
ESP.
It's like an ESP
projection.
Walking through walls. Yeah. All that. All
like
that
mind
kind of
control
stuff.
And trickery. Mind control,
is a very interesting. That was... I don't know the timeline, but it was not far from...
Yeah.
It's not like the U.S. government is like, we don't believe in that stuff. We're like, we'll give it a shot. You know, we'll put some time and money into
it. It's the 60s. We'll do anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. We'll like experiment with... We'll microdose LSD or whatever.
We'll give kids with learning disabilities in an asylum LSD. We talked about that on one podcast.
So they're skeptics that they just think that she already believed... She had a proclivity to believe in UFOs.
Again, her sister... There's so many interesting parts of the story that I'm excited when you're done with it, we can
get into it. Yeah, I'm just kind of going to give you all... I'm going to
throw it all out there so I can process it.
That's why I'm kind of like, hey, this is all these... Because I'm going to go back and be like,
you're
here's all
leaving
the
me breadcrumbs to get to the candy house of the abduction story.
But then you get... Don't you get eaten in the candy house?
Yeah, I get put in the oven.
Oh.
Kind of cool.
Political. That the power of suggestion under hypnosis, and there's probably things from when I was like, am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah.
You know, how many, in fact, that kind of, I mentioned that podcast, To Live and Die in L.A., that the first thing, and they talk about you getting things put in your head so many times that eventually you're like, that's how it happened.
Bystander syndrome. It's where you remember, and there's a lot of phenomenon like this, we talked about it on the show that I just worked on, where the first thing that you're introduced to you think is true, even if it's not true.
Yeah.
Which is really an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, so there's always some things where I'm like, am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
And really, I just go forward with it. Like, to me, that is going to be the truth because now I don't know any different.
Yeah.
I can second guess, you know, a lot of things, especially from a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the TV show The Outer Limits.
Yeah, loved it.
Right?
Oh my God, ate it up.
And an episode very similar to this came out right before. You know what I mean? Like, so another coincidence?
Yeah. Also, I'm surprised The Outer Limits started. I think of the reboot in the 80s.
Yeah. No, The Outer Limits, Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Twilight Zone came up first. Outer Limits came up pretty quick and then did reboot. So that was like, Twilight Zone was like late 50s and you get Outer Limits in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It only aired a few weeks before this happened. And it's a very similar story. Slant-eyed creatures. Very typical.
Yeah, typical alien. Yes. When you are profiling an alien and you're like, prototypical alien, big eyes and like triangle heads, and they're all like very pale and kind of like willowy and
take
don't
you to your leader
exactly
type stuff.
Like dark eyes, and they move slowly,
tall and gorgeous,
yeah, like
dark
leggy,
eyes, yeah,
baby.
Like
like kind of like tardy,
yeah,
like
it's like
flirty.
What?
It's like don't it's, tease
yeah.
me.
Yeah, are you single? I don't
stop
know.
Stop it! Like you're not responding to my text. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm dying over here,
babe.
Z2247.
Yeah, babe. And so what people are saying is they were probably very sleep deprived, and the bright lights were Jupiter and Saturn, which their positions matched what the couples were saying was there. So then, you know, there's a lot more. So then, you know, people are like, let's, you know, more hypnosis. We got to find out more. I got to find out more. And then, like, if it's at first I was like, hey, what'd you do today? It's like, I went to 7-Eleven. And then it's like later on, it's like, yeah, I saw Taylor Swift at 7-Eleven and like we made out for a few minutes. And you're like, why didn't you start with that? It's like, oh, it's just kind of coming to me as time goes on. It's like,
It's so slow.
Hey, we helicopter. We said an hour.
give us time.
Yeah.
I know you're just circling, burning fossil fuel, waiting for us
yeah.
to get to Malibu, but we have a story to tell. It's about abduction.
We'll get to the boo when we get to the boo.
Exactly.
Is that they call Malibu?
maybe 10 years ago.
Too poor to know. So now Barney claims to have seen 8 to 11 aliens.
What?
They're peering out of the craft's windows to look at him, and all but one moved to what appear like a panel in the rear wall of the hallway that encircled the front of the craft. So typical, you know, lights in the front of this pancake-like thing.
Yeah.
There's one remaining figure started looking at Barney and communicated a message telling him, stay where you are and keep looking.
Wow. And then he's like, and then the Outer Limits credits rolled.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. What happened? Mm-hmm. Then he had a recollection of observing the humanoid forms wearing glossy black uniforms and black caps.
Hot.
Exactly like the Outer Limits episode. Exactly like the Outer Limits episode. All very sexy. This is very sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very turned on right now.
Yeah. Just like, keep looking at me, babe.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah, exactly. just focus on me and my black like outfit, my beautiful like immaculate skin, and my slender
thigh gap
body.
Are crazy.
Oh my god, they're all thigh gap. Aliens are all. If you've learned nothing today, it's aliens are all thigh gap.
Yes, there was red lights to be on what batwing fins would tell us, and then so he first was like, I don't know, it was like round.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like, okay, check it. red lights on what appeared to be batwing fins. Would telescope out of the sides of the craft. The long structure descended from the bottom of the craft. Silent craft, by the way. No noise. That's why maybe no one else heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And approached to what Barney estimated was within 50 to 80 feet overhead and 300 feet away from him. October 21st, 1961, Barney reports to the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a job for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it
a
really
job.
It really is. Like, why is it so hard for us to find jobs when everyone has a job?
And so now people are starting to investigate it, and then the Hills were like, we got home a little later than we thought. The drive should have taken about 4 hours. They claim to not have realized they arrived home 7 hours after their departure. So there's a time discrepancy, but the UFOologist, also a job, calls that missing time. Is that too scientific for you?
Yeah, I'm lost.
Oh, well, keep up. That's science there. So is it time for a break yet?
I think it's probably time for a little break, and we'll get back to what all went down.
Yeah, let's get back into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we are going to go to March 3rd, 1963. Now, it's been pretty, under wrap as far as, talking about it in public.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept that under wraps.
Are we going to get a story break in here?
Well, they started talking about it, the group, their church. So they started talking about it. And then Barney told everyone at the church that he and Betty were now taken onto the craft.
Oh.
So now it's added on to it. And they were separated. He was escorted to the room by three of the men. I guess the alien are men.
Okay. Well, that's...
Patriarchy, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
Started back. Yeah. It started then.
Exactly.
He was told to lie on a small rectangular exam table. Unlike Betty, we're so popular.
I know.
Barney's narrative of... Is he the Austin guy?
No, it's Valerie.
Okay.
Our friend Valerie is probably asking about her checks from the show.
Yeah. Oh, still great. Dealing with work.
Yeah.
So Barney's narrative wasn't detailed, but he kept his eyes closed for most of the exam.
Mm-hmm.
But he did know a cup-like device was placed over his genitals.
Straight to the genitals.
And before you ask, no, he did not experience an orgasm.
What?
But
the point?
He thought that a sperm sample had been taken.
Like a swab? Like a little... What?
I don't know. I don't know
what
how
happened
that...
to the genital cup.
I don't know. So from then,
this also would be a great Halloween costume for something.
So basically, they and again, you know, we talk about the Amityville Horror where they're like the stories kept like, oh no, this happened, and then he's like, well, this doesn't seem real, but people's like, no, it was real, and really, what you're doing. I mean, I feel like what's happening was it was like, what's based on what I know about what I've seen and heard, what could have possibly happened in theory in this? Because when you say, if you were like, what'd you do? It was like, I don't know, I was blackout drunk.
Yeah.
I could have been on an alien craft.
Yeah.
So this missing time that they're claiming, which if you're driving on autopilot, you can drive for 2 hours on one road and be like, how do we get here?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're filling that time with whatever they would like to fill it in. And then in this, he starts to talk about how he's like, it's like claimed anal probes. But those he reported earlier, but I think were not relayed to later, I believe. So he had reported them earlier, but for some reason, I don't know, they started.
He didn't also talk about the urethra probes.
No.
Later.
No.
It's like, yeah. One is it? Is it both? Like, let's.
I mean, I think it's whatever it is, because if you're like, he's at the end of the story, yes, we don't need to talk to you anymore.
Oh.
So they started becoming like mini celebrities. This is not new. Mm-hmm. They may be pioneers of it, but it is not new. And Betty, her dress had like a little film on it. His mm-hmm. shoes were scuffed. Mm-hmm. He had binoculars that the strap broke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like kind of like, listen, if you were freaking out and you have binoculars and you rip it off your face,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what if it's like chainmail,
yeah.
but it's probably just a cheap like rubber or
thing.
Plastic.
Yeah.
But he, all those things, the scuff on the shoes.
Yeah.
The little bit of like, maybe it was like, dust, I don't know what they call it, dust.
Space.
You know, the fact that my binoculars, all those things were part of like the shaking up of them.
Yeah.
Via aliens. Actually, Betty and Barney Hill archive in New Hampshire. And there's letters, journals, audio tapes, transcripts, her mm-hmm. dress that she was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had that analyzed.
Wow.
Many for whatever.
Yeah.
And,
what was on it? It was like
alien.
Cocaine?
I guess just like, typical alien meth. Dust. Just typical. just but back then it was like good meth. It wasn't bad for you back then.
It was crushed up pills.
Now, there's this columnist from the Skeptical Inquirer, Robert Schaefer.
The Skeptical Inquirer.
I'm going to quote him. And I find this very, very interesting. I was present at the National UFO Conference in New York City in 1980. And Betty was like, because Barney died in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
She's been going full steam ahead.
She's
everything
on
UFOs, that's a UFO. You're a UFO. I'm a UFO. Look at that UFO. What do you want for dinner? Six UFOs.
Exactly.
It was very like that.
Which is also very different than when a lot of people experience trauma. I think
yes.
they, not to say they're not outspoken about it, but I think a lot of people are just trying to get on with their lives.
Yeah. No, I think in this case, I'm not speculating. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I like talking about this. I like the attention. I like having something to say and a purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I mean, people do that. There's conventions all the time for like, I was in a movie X amount of years ago and people want to meet me and get an autograph. Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
This is great. Everyone's mm-hmm. happy. It's a lot of this. So there was a National UFO Conference in New York City
mm-hmm.
and where Betty presented some UFO photos she'd taken. She, since then, tons of UFOs. She's seen a ton of them. She showed them must have been well over 200 slides, mostly of blips, blurs, and blobs against mm-hmm. a dark background. These are supposed to be UFOs coming close, chasing her car, landing. Mm-hmm. So since then, she's been on the run from UFOs.
Yeah, exactly.
But
she's in hiding.
but she can go and do talks.
She can cash those checks.
Yeah, she can cash those checks. After her talk had exceeded twice its allotted time, she was literally jeered off the stage. But when at first was like a pretty chill,
Whoa.
They were like, yeah, we like you. And then when you're talking twice as much, pretty much about nothing.
Yeah. Also to people who, I can't think of people who'd be more accepting of
sure.
talk than UFO enthusiasts
and,
at a UFO
and
conference.
A celebrity.
Yeah.
This is like,
but they were like, get the fuck
well,
out.
You know, since from 1961 now to 1980, mm-hmm. like you mentioned communion.
Yeah.
There's a lot has happened, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Totally.
So it's been more refined or whatever the case may be. And the incident, which is witnessed by many UFOlogy leaders mm-hmm. and top activists, removed any lingering doubts about Betty's credibility. She didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
In 1995, Betty Hill wrote a self-published book.
Yes.
Common Sense Approach to UFOs. It's filled with obviously delusional stories, such as seeing an entire squadron of UFOs in flight and a truck levitating above the freeway.
What?
As late as 1977, Betty would go on UFO vigils three times a week. During one evening, she was joined by a UFO enthusiast, John Oswalt. When asked about Betty's UFO observations, Oswalt stated, she's not really seeing UFOs, but she's calling them that. On the night they went out together, Ms. Hill was unable to distinguish between the landed UFO and a street light. In a later interview, Schaefer recounts that Betty Hill wrote, UFOs are a new science, and our science cannot explain them.
Hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You got the picture, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, as someone who loves this stuff, is very open to discussing it, talking about it, whatever. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of holes in her story, and the conduct post-abduction just feels grandiose.
You know, I feel like if somebody told, like if somebody was like bumped into me and said, hey, cutie, and I didn't mm-hmm. see who it was, and you somebody told me, he's like, that was Taylor Swift, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I might take that and be like, you know.
Well,
and
I'm dating Taylor Swift.
I was like, I was like, yeah, Taylor Swift bumped into me, and then, you know, she said, hey, cutie. Then it's like, so Taylor Swift has been like, I was dating Taylor Swift before she... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know why I keep bringing up Taylor Swift.
Like, yeah, it's like a very Taylor popular, Swift and UFO-themed episode.
I feel like she has a very glow-ish...
She does. She's got long limbs, pale,
she's great.
Big eyes.
You know, And I feel like you might start to run... That is just like you said. There's a... Like, you know, you work on a show, produce a show that discusses scientific phenomenon, mm-hmm. or, you know, kind of what does the science tell you about how people react to things? Mm-hmm. And I think this is that case. Then also, I mean, you know, if somebody was like, hey, a ghost town, you guys mm-hmm. are, you know, you guys had this experience going to an abandoned place and you fist fought a ghost.
Yeah.
That we might, and then maybe we, I don't know, maybe yeah. we're like, hey, well, yeah, we'll go on a tour.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's like, you got to understand, like, how much is, like, you got to be like, how much of this is, you know, is it entertainment, and how mm-hmm. much of it is just you not wanting to let go of the thing that maybe defined you? Her husband yeah. died in 1969.
Yeah,
huge bummer, like pretty yeah. young. And that's something they shared together. Mm-hmm. And now she's probably dealing with, you know, that grief and that yeah. loneliness. And then she's maybe like, hey, listen, I'm going to take the thing we had together.
Yeah.
And then just and keep doing it. And I'm not, you know, trying to say that she was hers, like, it didn't sound like something just like trying to make a quick buck, yeah. like selling merch, baby.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that, but it is that thing where it's like, who's to say I'm not right?
Yeah.
Who's to say it didn't happen? But, you know, between your sister, you already believed.
Yeah.
You just wanted to, like, you just.
I would love to hear what her sister says about this yeah. too, like finding out what happened there. But I think it's really interesting her being kind of an outcast, you know, yeah. like her being an outcast in this experience, her being an outcast, being in a mixed race relationship. I think all these things really weaving together create such a compelling story of like the landscape of that time and place and how people dealt with loss and being ostracized. Yeah.
And I'm speculating. I'm probably not the first one to mm-hmm. all these speculations. You know, we're not the first. You're hearing the information and uh-huh. other people. You're like, a lot of these things are easily explained.
Yeah.
Because of how from 1961 to, you know, very almost kind of recently, mm-hmm. this UFO thing, it's just been constantly, like, now all of a sudden people are interested, and now I'm seeing them all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like something we see now when people have any kind of, like, celebrity or whatever yeah. that is they're holding on to.
Absolutely.
They don't let that go. But to go back to how I found this, they made a historical marker, mm-hmm. which is not easy. I mean, it's not like it's a historical marker for something that is atypical to what historical markers are. Like
yeah.
George Washington camped here, the first Reformed church in the United States. So the fact that a alleged UFO sighting mm-hmm. was made famous in this moment, I think it's super cool. And
yeah.
I'm excited for New Hampshire, and I'd love to see it. And I think the town mm-hmm. was excited as well. So that really, in a way, I feel like it's been validated as mm-hmm. an occurrence
yeah.
in, you know, because, like I said, the United States took this very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. The military took it very seriously. People still take it seriously now.
Yeah.
So there's, in that sense, it's very real.
Yeah. I mean, do you believe in UFOs?
I thought about that question when I was first looking into this, because I feel like that's something someone would ask.
Me.
I believe that there is the possibility that there's life other than us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big old world out there. I believe that. I'm open to that. I do not believe in necessarily UFOs, at least the way I feel like they're presented. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they talk about like a star is like from X amount of time ago and you're only mm-hmm. seeing it now.
Yeah.
Like I mean, if I believe that there's life, you know, traveling out there in whatever way that it is, and, you know, maybe you're seeing it now X amount of million years later, mm-hmm. who's to say? But this thing where it's so, it's like happens so often enough where it's so tangible, mm-hmm. but yet nobody's produced anything mm-hmm. from it except making money off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
When there's money to be made off of something,
we will persevere.
Yeah. Well, the skeptic in me, you know, goes through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something to be gained, or if it's, you know, and that by making it, that could be just that equity in attention or mm-hmm. whatever it is. But I feel like the people that really believing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not mad at them for that. It makes life interesting.
Yeah.
I guess.
I agree. And I love that. I think it's such a testament to the human imagination. When I think about UFOs, I also, and life on other planets, which I agree, I'm in the same boat. I think if we evolved from, you know, tiny mitochondria in a pool, primordial pool, then I'm sure other things can do the same on different planets.
Man, I was made in the sixth day. That's weird.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
we have a wow. big conversation to have.
Damn. Yeah. Podcast ended.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think things evolve on other planets. That would make sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what in what way or how, or if they're just like fungus
yeah.
or if they're the most intelligent beings that can travel across the universe. We don't know.
We don't know.
But same thing with, it's like it's probably not in the way that our that we've experienced this. Yeah. But also there's so many people who've experienced UFO stuff. Same thing with like ghost stuff. And I'm like, what is the through line with this? Is it something that is outer worldly or is it something that's a psychological phenomenon?
Where it's like, you know, if you're in a car driving and you're very tired, mm-hmm. and if we're both in a car and we're very tired and you're like, I think I saw something.
Yeah.
Like, no, you didn't. I was like, wait, did she?
Yeah.
You did see something.
Exactly. And then we talked to a hypnotist and suddenly you're like, oh, fuck, I was also abducted.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where it's like, it can be the snowball effect of things happening in that way.
And support, I, you know, I believe that there was a thing where it's like, you know, I stand by my man, I stand by my woman, mm-hmm. you know, if she, yeah, it must have, and that kind of support together that, you know, it's something that you, that's something that you have. And I don't know what their life was like. I don't recall if they had children mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. So, you know, for them, and I don't judge them for mm-hmm. this, and I'm not mad about it. It's just somebody, you know, I don't know, they just did, you know, did what they did, and you know, Betty definitely kept it going. And
yeah.
If it provided an interest in entertainment or something to people, mm-hmm. great. We're talking about it right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And I think it does help us delve into people and the psychology around these types of events, because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And we got to go, because for
our anniversary
din-din with yes. Paris Hilton yes. in Malibu.
Why? I've been talking about Taylor Swift this whole time, and you're just like, yeah, Paris Hilton, dude.
Yeah, Paris Hilton's my Taylor Swift.
She's cool. Or is it a UFO?